Boker Tov, world. Today's daf in Masechet Makot, brought to you from Yerushalayim Yir HaKodesh, is daf Tet Zayin. So let me just remind you where we are up to. We were exploring the relationship between a lav and the takla asei, a lav which is kadmo asei. Those were two different sugim, according to Rabbi Yochanan, and the connection that has to hatra'at safek, whether hatra'at safek is considered to be a hatra'ah or not considered to be a hatra'ah. So because of that, we analyze the consistency of the shita of Rabbi Yochanan and the shita of Reish Lakish when it came to the din of hatra'at safek. And so we discovered that even though both Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish agree that there is no din of malchus when it comes to notar, they agree, but for totally different reasons. And those different reasons reflect their shitas about the idea, about the promise or the swearing to eat a particular piece of bread today. So the question over there was, you don't get malchus if you don't eat it, but for different reasons. So according to Rabbi Yochanan, it's the reason that you don't get malchus is only because it's a lav shein bo ma'aseh. It's completely passive, sitting back and not eating something. Whereas Reish Lakish says it's eino lokeh because it's hatra'at safek. And hatra'at safek lo shumei hatra'ah. Today we want to explore how that machlokus is actually very much dependent in an understanding of the shita of Rabbi Yehuda when it comes to nota. So let's take a look today. On the line 4, Tarvayu Aliba de Rabbi Yehuda of Tetzayin Amud Aleph, in which the Gemara understands that, interestingly enough, both Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish discovered their Shita in Rabbi Yehuda's Shita. Which, of course, difficult to understand. How can you find opposite Shitot? And this causes a problem in Rabbi Yehuda, which we're going to need to understand today. So Tavayu, both Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish, learn what they believe about Hatra'at Safek out of Rabbi Yehuda's Shita, the Tanya. Getting to Notar. So Notar is very similar to the case that we just had about a person who swears that he's going to be eating a particular kikar and in the course of the day, and he doesn't. So according to Rabbi Yehuda, in the case of Notar, the Torah says, Lo totir mimenu ad boker, and then provides a mitzvah taseh, which seems like a classic lav anitak laaseh. It says, v'hanotar mimenu, if you did leave anything over, ad boker sen ba'eshti soref. The point of that is, bar katuv liten haseh achar lo taaseh, says Rabbi Yehuda, that is the reason for having that mitzvah saseh in order, lomar she'en lo kin alav. So the mitzvah saseh of burning, the notar takes the chiyav of malchus off of the person who is over on the isa. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. Now, that implies that if it wouldn't have been for the fact that the Torah gave us an essay after the lota said that the person would have gotten malchus. So, Rabbi Yochanan says, okay, so what does that imply? It implies that if you would not have bar hakatuv liten haseh, etc., etc., that then, if not for that, halobo akatuv, if the Torah hadn't given us the mitzvahs haseh, that you would have gotten malchus. But how could you get malchus? It's exactly the same case as the person who swore that he's going to eat a particular piece of bread. And as we understood there, there's no way to give him hatra'at vadai because there's nothing that he's about to do that you could say, don't do that. And every time you give him hatra'ah up to the last possible instant, he'll say, well, I'm going to eat it. What's your problem? And then if it's after the last possible instant, he'll say, well, nothing I can do about it because there's no time to eat it. So Rabbi Yochanan, that means, is medayik from Rabbi Yehuda's position, that's not a problem. You can give him hatra'ah. Of course, in this case, there won't be malkut with that hatra'ah because there's always a mitzvah saseh because there's a lava nitik laseh. Whereas Reish Lakish says that the idea is actually the same diyuk, Arima de Ba'akatu. It's only because the Torah actually provided that mitzvah taseh to save you from Malchus. But if not for that, Allah Blakatub, then you would have gotten Malchus. But how could you get Malchus if you didn't do any action? So you see from here, says Rish Lakish, that not doing an action is not a problem. And Alav She'im Bo Ma'aseh, you are looking Alav. Now, the point here is that they don't seem to be arguing in anything because both of them are right. If there wouldn't have been the Aseh connected to the Lotaseh, Rabbi Yehuda is saying that you would have gotten Malchus despite there being two problems. One is that it's Atrat Safek, and one that it's Alav She'en Bo Ma'aseh. So, I mean, it's all very sweet that Rabbi Yochanan selects one of them to look at, and Rish Lakish selects the other to look at, but both are right. So, what exactly does this have to do with the Machlokas? You can't base the Machlokas on the Shita of Rish Lakish of Rabbi Yehuda. So ask the Gemara, well, I don't understand. Is Rabbi Shimon saying that Rabbi Yochanan is wrong? So Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish, I mean, he has to agree that, yes, it's true what he said, that it's a Lav Shein Bo Ma'aseh, but it's also true that it would have been a Hatrat Safek. And even so, Rabbi Yehuda said that if not for the Lav Anitak La'aseh aspect of it, you would have gotten Malchus. So what's he arguing about? Ah, you see, Rish Lakish says, well, that's true, but there's another braita that describes Rabbi Yehuda Shita, which says the opposite. Now here, this braita is talking about a case of a child who has no way of knowing who his father is, because what happened was that his father, his possible father had died, his mother's husband had died. She did not wait the 3 months which Chazal Rekoveya to wait in order to be able to determine who impregnated her. And she went ahead and she got married to another guy. And she had a child after 7 months. And now we are not sure whether this is a 9-month gestation from the first deceased father or whether this is a 7-month gestation. So this child is always going to be in a state of suffix when it comes to the dinim of the father. So let's say he hits one of these possible fathers. I mean, you can't tell him don't hit him because he's only going to be able to respond, well, that's not my father. How do you know it's my father? And therefore it would be atra'at safek. Or let's say he curses one of them. Well, the same thing. It's not my father. So therefore, we have an interesting machlokas about what happens in these cases. So the Tanakhama says, now, if he hits both of them, so first he hits one, and then he hits the other one, not at the same time, or first he curses one, and then he curses the other one, or for that matter, he hits them both at the same time. When it says the same time, what it means is within toch kedei dibur, of a single hatra'ah. So he hits them both at the same time, or he curses them both at the same time. In all such cases, he would be chayev. How could that be? If he did it at different times, each one of the hatra'ot was a hatra'at safek. So how can you put together two hatra'ot safek to equal one hatra'ah? Obviously, the Tanakhama holds that we don't care and that a hatra'at safek is considered to be a hatra'ah. But Rabbi Yehuda says, only in the case bevatachat chayat, if you hit them at the same time, meaning betoch kedei dibur, so that the hatra'ah was a single hatra'ah, and there's no way for him to say, well, he's not my father. All right, so the other one's your father. What do I care? Fact is, you did this action of a lotaseh, of cursing your father within the same hatra'ah. Okay, so then you would be chayev. But how could you be chayev, says Rabbi Yehuda, if you don't do it simultaneously? Because each hatra'ah was hatra'at safek. So now that means that Rabbi Yehuda is saying that hatra'at safek lav shmei hatra'ah, very clearly, says Rish Lakish. Okay, so I am taking this part of Rabbi Yehuda and I am following Rabbi Yehuda faithfully. Now, obviously, this is a contradiction to the Rabbi Yehuda that we quoted about Notar, because over there Rabbi Yehuda said, if it wouldn't have been for the aseh that came after the lotaseh, what would have been the halacha? He would have gotten Malchus. But why? It was a hatra'at safek. This thing about we'll ask later. But right now, what we're interested in is figuring out why Reish Lakish believes that he's consistent with Rabbi Yehuda. So Reish Lakish says, look, I see from here that Rabbi Yehuda clearly said, Hatra Atza Fik, Lav Shema Hatra. So what's your problem? Now, Rabbi Yochanan, who only focused on the issue of Hatrat Safek in the matter of the notar, and he said, you see from here that Rabbi Yehuda holds that Hatrat Safek is considered to be Hatra'ah, because otherwise, why would he say that he needs that Lav Anitik La'aseh to Pater from Malkus? So, why doesn't he agree to the other diak, which is Reish Lakish's diak, that it's a Lav She'ein Bo Ma'aseh? And nonetheless, if not for the Lav Anitik La'aseh, the din would have been that you get Malkus, right? So apparently, you see that a Lav She'ein Bo Ma'aseh does get Malkus. Why does he argue on Reish Lakish about that? He should agree that both of the diukim are correct. Answers the Gemara that Rabbi Yochanan is following a different Rabbi Yehuda, just like we answered by Reish Lakish. He is going, himself, so it's consistent with what Rabbi Yehuda said according to Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Mishom Rabbi Yossi Aglili, Kol lo ta'aseh sheba Torah, only if it's a lav sheyesh bo ma'aseh lokin alav, it's a lav she'ein bo ma'aseh in lokin alav, except for three very specific cases. And in those three cases, the Torah tells us that even though it's a lav she'ein bo ma'aseh, that the idea is you would get malkus, but we can't learn out from there because it's shlosh k'suvim aboim ke'echa. And what were those? Someone who takes a false shvua, so he's a nishba l'sheker. Someone who makes a tmura, so he's a meimar. And someone who is mekala let chavero b'shein. So he's over on the Isser of Nasiba Amcha, Olotikal Cheresh, and only in those cases. Fine, so that means Rabbi Yochanan is saying, look, I'm following Rabbi Yehuda faithfully. Here Rabbi Yehuda is clearly saying, like I said, that normally you do not get Malkus when you are dealing with a Lav She'ein Bo Ma'aseh. Okay, so both Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish are following Rabbi Yehuda. Now, I don't care who you're going like, but Rabbi Yehuda contradicts himself in both of these things. We had two lovely diyukim from Rabbi Yehuda's Shita about the din of notar. Ba katuv liten aseh achar lo ta'aseh, and if not for that, you would have gotten Malkus, right? Okay, the question is, he says that both diyukim, in another place, he goes against both diyukim. A, if not for that, you would have gotten Malkus, despite the fact that it's a hatrat safek. And in a different place, as we saw, he says that hatrat safek is fine, not a problem. The other diyuk was, if not for the asay anitik, the lav anitik asay, that he would have gotten Malkus, despite the fact that it's a lav shem bo maisa. And in a different place, he says, no, the Lav She'ein Bo Ma'aseh, you don't get Malkus. So it means Rabbi Yehuda has contradicted himself in two different dinim, right? So Kasha to Rabbi Yehuda, to Rabbi Yehuda. I don't care who you hold like, but both according to Rabbi Yochanan and according to Reish Lakish, Rabbi Yehuda is full of contradictions. Says the Gemara, okay, obviously they resolve this in different ways because each one thinks that they're following the consistent sheet of Rabbi Yehuda, right? So let's figure out how that's possible. So let's ask Reish Lakish. So what would Reish Lakish do to answer the contradiction between Noser and between, which over there, it's a Hatra'at Safek, and the Braita of the child who has two possible fathers and he's given Hatra'at? Well, there's no way to resolve it. I mean, basically, Reish Lakish will say, we often find that there are different reports by different people who learned by Rabbi Yehuda, and he would say it's straight on Oyalib Rabbi Yehuda. You're right, it is a contradiction, but the Braita that told us the Rabbi Yehuda would say that you would be chayev if not for the Lav Anitik La'aseh, he obviously holds that Hatrat Safek is okay. Masha Ein Kein, the other Braita, that reports that according to Rabbi Yehuda, if the child would have been Mekalel, or would have been a Makeh, the two fathers, one after the other, he would not have gotten Malkus, because it would be Hatras Sofek. That sheet of Rabbi Yehuda holds that it's not a good Hatra'ah. There's no way out of that. What about according to Rabbi Yochanan? He's got a stira in Rabbi Yehuda that in the Braita of Notar, there is the halacha that you would have gotten Malkus despite the fact that it's a lav she'ein bo ma'aseh. And in the other Braita, where he's quoting Rabbi Yehuda, he says, Kol lav she'ein bo ma'aseh, lo kin alav. How do you explain that? Well, that's a little bit easier to explain, because Rabbi Yochanan, when he learned that Braita, he said it, remember, that Rabbi Yehuda quoted his Rebbe, Rabbi Yossi HaGlili. So fine, Ein Achinami, Rabbi Yehuda, his own shita is that you are chayev on a lav she'ein bo ma'aseh. What about this other shita? That's Rabbi Yehuda quoting his Rebbe, Rabbi Yossi HaGlili, who disagrees. Okay, so fine, everything seems, therefore, to be okay. Now, let's take a look at some of the examples of a lav hanitek la'aseh. So remember, I think probably the most famous lav hanitek la'aseh that people think about, comes to mind right away, is hanotel eim al habanim. All right, so somebody comes along, sees this mother bird, and he takes away, this eim al habanim, which he was not supposed to do. It says beferish in the Torah, lo tikach eim al habanim. That's shiluach haken. So there the Torah said, shaleach teshalach et ha'em, et ha'banim tikach lach, and therefore this shiluach ha'kein was b'chayev him not to take the bird, but rather to send her away. Rabbi Yehuda says, well, once he already did it, and he took away the bird, the mother bird, he would get malchus, and it will not serve any purpose at this point for him to go ahead and send the mother away now again. So in other words, when it says shaleach b'shalach et ha'em et ha'banim tikach lach, it comes before the lav, basically. And therefore, don't take the mother. If you did take the mother, then it's not saying if you did take the mother, send her away. It is saying that you should first send away the mother, and thereby not take the mother while it's on the banim or while it's on the eggs. Right? So that's how it starts. You see the mother that is on the efrochim, so yikareka tzipor lefanecha baderech, etc., etc., and you find that the eim rovetzet ala efrochim ala beitzim lo tikacha eim ala banim. But then it says, shaleach tishalach et ha'em first, v'et ha'banim, then tikach l'cha l'man yitav lach. So basically, what we have over here is telling us what you should have done is first sent away the mother. It's an alternative. That's not a lav hanitak la'aseh, which is a tikkun. It's simply telling you, what should you do? Don't do this. Instead, do this. Send away the mother, and then you could take the children. But if you already did it wrong and you took away the mother, so then you were over already, both on the assay and on the los assay. And since there's no longer a mitzvah of a shaleach to shalach, he gets malchus. Chachamim Aymerim? No. You send away the mother and you don't get malchus, because after all, zehaklal. Basically, we have a general rule. Kol mitzvat lo ta'aseh, sheyesh bakum aseh, ein chayav en alav. You will never be chayav on alav anitik la'aseh, which, of course, we know. Rabbi Yehuda himself also is made it to that. He said so beferish. We just had the story of Notar, and Rabbi Yehuda himself said that we have over there the mitzvah of burning the Notar, and that's the reason that you won't get malchus if you were over on Notar. The point over here is that he's saying that this is an alternative, not a tikkun. So when it says, do not take the mother bird, but rather send it away, it doesn't mean if you took it, send it away. It means, but rather, you should have sent it away. Listen, I'm not being zeicher to Reb Barnea's waving of the water. So apparently, I pottered myself because he's angry at me because I was so bad to him. So I'll apologize publicly. I made a terrible mistake, and I thought he was insulting Ari Heyer, and I was very stupid not understanding his pun. And you know I have problems with his pun. So I apologize for even being chayshid with sharing this, especially on a public chat. So now, if you'll be meichel me, now you can wave at me, and now I'll appreciate it.
I missed it.
Omer Rabbi Yochanan. Okay, so now this is another fascinating diak, right? Because what we have over here, so far it was pretty clear. We had a lav hanitak la'aseh, where the aseh comes afterwards. A lav shekadmo aseh, where the aseh comes before. But now we've got this new kind of state in the middle. How do we read it? Do we read it? I mean, technically, it says that you should be lo tikach ha'em alabanim shalech t'shalach ha'em, right? So it sounds like a lavanita class 8. But since it says afterwards, the shalech t'shalach ha'em v'tabanim tikach lach, it's obviously giving you an alternative to doing the wrong thing, not a tikun to doing the wrong thing. That's what Reb Yehuda Tain is. So we have this new kimura, so to speak, which it looks like a lavanita class 8, but it's actually an aseh that is defining what life should be as opposed to the way that you're going to be over. Omer Rabbi Yochanan. Now, note that the Chachamim said, listen, gentlemen, zeklal, kol mitzvat lo taseh sheish bakum aseh. I mean, zeklal usually means, you know, look over kol ha'Torah kula, and this is what you'll find. So says Rabbi Yochanan, look, those are big words, you know. Zeklal. I mean, it sounds like we're going to need like an AI to give me a list of all of the cases. But I got news for you. In the whole Torah, there's only one other case. Now, what's going on? Because remember that Rabbi Yochanan Shita is that when you have a lav hanitak la'aseh, the din is not kima v'lo kima, but rather bitla v'lo bitla. So the only way you would be chayev is if you made it impossible to be mekayim the aseh any longer, right? Well, says Rabbi Yochanan, the truth is, this case, you could always kill the mother bird, in which case you'll have a hard time making her fly away. So there, it's true that in this case, it would be a lav hanitak la'aseh, and you wouldn't be chayev. But there's only one other case where it's in your hands to make it impossible to be mekayim the mitzvahs aseh. So ein lano ela zot v'od acheret. There's only one other case. Omalei Reb Elazar, what's the other case? Says Reb Yochanan. You think I'm going to tell you what the other case is? This is an opportunity for you to go through every case in the Torah and figure it out. Okay, you've got 45 seconds. Beep. Beep. Okay, so Reb Elazar desperately is nafak dak ve'eshkach. So he goes out, flips through the cases in his mind, and he gets it. Oh, so he comes back and says, I got the answer. The Tanya, ones shigiresh. This was a case that we had before. So we've got this rapist. He marries his rape victim, and then he is over on the lo yuchal shoka. So he gives her a divorce, a lav. So if he's a Yisrael who is not usher to marry a Megureshet, if he's a Kohen, then she's a Gerusha, she's a Sura. There's no problem. All he has to do is take her back, and then he won't get Malkus. But if he's a Kohen, then he's going to get Malkus because he has no way to marry her. So now, this is all very nice if you hold Kimo v'lo Kimo. But Rabbi Yochanan is saying is that even if you hold bitlo v'lo bitlo, that this would be true. But why? When it comes to shiluach hakein, there's a way to be mevatel it. How? You shech the bird. If you shech the bird, you're not going to be able to send it away. But in this case, what will you do? Shoot your rape victim? I mean, it's okay, I'll remarry her. Italian style. So in that case, you'll never be able to be mekayim, the mitzvah saseh. So you'll say that then it'll be chayev. No, because if he killed her, then he's going to become lebiterama minei. So since if you remember, you can't, what are you going to say? Yeah, but that's a different issue. Now remember, when it comes to the shita of bitlo velo bitlo, the lav is only completed when you're mevatel it. Since over here being mevatel the assay is by shooting her, so at the moment that you were over on the lav, you were also over on the los irtzach. So if you got two chiyuvim, obviously we're going to give you the chiyuv of misa because it come lebiter abba mine. So that can't be the case. So I don't understand how Reb Elezer thinks that he got it. He didn't get it. This is not a good case. Can't figure out how to make it impossible to remarry her, sort of shooting her. Amrav Shimi Mechozna. Actually, there is a way. He could be Mekabel Kedushin from another man, and then he won't be able to marry her. Huh? What do you mean? Amrav, how can he be Mekabel Kedushin? If she made him a shliach to be Mekabel Kedushin, so then he's only acting as her agent, and it's she who accepted the Kedushin. He didn't mevato the lav. It's got to be he that's mevato the lav. And over here, the state of Kedushin, which is what is mevato the lav, is created by her, not by him. So that's not a good case. If she hadn't made him a shliach, how the heck could he go and be Mekabel Kedushin for her? So Kol Kamine, he has no power to be Mekabel Kedushin. It's a joke. Lav Klomo. But there is an answer. I'll explain to you why Reb Elezer says, I got it. It's because Elam Reb Shimim Narda, it means that he went ahead and he took a neder berabim, which does not have a way to be matirid, that she's always going to be Asura Alav. In which case, we can't force him to be over on an Isser D'oraisa. Now he can't marry her, and therefore he's going to get Malkus for raping her, for divorcing her. Wait a minute, says the Gemara, but not everybody holds that. If you hold, according to Bandi Omar, that if you make a neder barabim, there's no way to be matter the neder, okay. But what about according to Bandi Omar, who says that you could still go and be matter it? So Reb Elezer still didn't get it. Okay, I didn't mean berabim. He was took a neder al dat rabim. Al dat rabim means that you would have to have a consensus of everybody that you would ask that the neders would not have been made under these conditions. That you can't be mati. The Omer HaMemar, even if you would hold that a neder should have berabim yeshlo hafara, and that is the halacha, but the halacha also is that if you make the neder al dat rabim, then ain lo hafara. Well, wait a second. Okay, that's maybe a good case, but we'll see whether that's a good case. But there's lots of other cases, seems to me. Rabbi Yochanan says there's only two cases in Kol HaTorah Kula. One of them was the Shiluach HaKein of shooting the bird. The other one, we have so far a candidacy of the din of an ones who divorces his wife after he had raped this woman, he married her. Well, what about Gezel, okay? The Torah says, lo tigzol. But there's a mitzvah saseh, v'heshivet ha-gezela, and over there, there's a way out of it. Or what about in a case where somebody has a mashkon, and the Torah says, lo tavo beto la'avot avoto, b'chutz ta'amod. So if you went in to the person's house, and you took a mashkon, and you have no right to enter someone else's house, then it says, Hashev Tashev lo et avod givu Hashemesh. So give it back. And in both of those cases, you could obviously kimo velo kimo, you could have, but you could even have bitlo velo bitlo. How? I don't know. You destroyed the mashkin, or you destroyed what it is that you stole. So over there, you can't return it. So there's a good case of kimo velo kimo and both bitlo velo bitlo. No, not true. Because the moment that you stole, or the moment that you took a mashkin shelo kedin, you're chayef b'tashlumin at that moment, right? That you went ahead And then do you destroy it? So if that's the case, we would be giving you malchus for something that you owe money for. But the din is that kol mishalim ain't a loka. So then you wouldn't get malchus for kima velokimo if you were chayv and tashlumi. Sorry. Well, says Rabbi Zera, how about a case where you took be'isr, a mashkan, from a ger, but the ger had died? Now, if we're talking about a ger who didn't have any children, had no yorshin, the classic case of gezel ger. And then you have no way of fixing it because you can't pay. There's nobody to pay. So how about that case? There would be a case of kima velo kima. Not true. Why it's not kima velo kima? Over there, you are chayev tashlumi, right? Now, when the ger died, after your chayev tashlumi, so then she butted the ger of the kapaka. Now, there's nobody to sue you for that money. But you weren't the one who had anything to do with that. I mean, he managed to die all on his own. So in that case, you would not have done a maisa to be mevato the possibility of being mekayim the asay. So that's not a problem, that case. Okay, what about a case of peya? Torah says, lo techalepa atzatcha, okay? And le'ani ve'lager ta'azovota. So what does that mean? If you did go ahead and you took all of the peya as well when you did your ketzira, so the Torah says, but you could still give it after you cut it. So give it after you cut it. Now, how long can you give it after you cut it? After you already processed it, you turned it into grain, after it was already chayev in trumas and maisras, did you already ground it up and make it into flour, and now it's a shinui? How about if you turned it into bread and you ate it? So now let's take a look. It's obviously possible to be chayev malchus if you hold kima velo kima. I mean, there, you know, we give you 5 minutes to give it back to the gera, to the ani. But there's also bitla velo bitla, because you might have ground it up. Did you not? Mitzvat peya lichat chila. You're supposed to leave the peya in the actual wheat that's growing. You're not supposed to cut it down. So lafrish benakama. It's standing in the field. You didn't do that, and you already cut it, and now you've tied together the omarim. Fine. Take it from the omarim. Mafrish ben omarim. You didn't take it from the omarim. You still have a chance to be mekayim in the midst of peya. Mafrish ben akri. You can take it even from the pile until you do the miruach, which is to smooth it down, and that's mekayim you in taking off trumas and maisras. If you already did the miruach, okay, fine. So then it's up to you to first take off the trumas and maisras and give it to the ani then. But after that, once you're going to grind it into flour, then it's a shinui, and you were in it, and you're not going to be able to mekayim the mitzvah of peya with that. So all you need to do is take your peya, grind it up, and at that point you'll be chayev now on the lav of taking your entire field. You were over that. You can no longer fix it. So why does Rabbi Yochanan say there's like only those two cases? Here's another case. Ah, because Rabbi Yochanan holds like Rabbi Yishmael. Rabbi Yishmael says, I don't care if you baked it into a pie. You can still take off peya. Af mafrish min ayisa. You can take it when it's still dough. Okay, so what about if you ate the dough? Okay, all right. You know what? The answer is that this is not a third case. This is the other case. And the case of the rapist is not a good case, that he should take a neder al das rab. That's not going to help you. So when Rabbi Yochanan said there's only one other case besides shiluach hakein and shooting the bird, the other case is you took off peah, and you actually processed the grain, and you ate it all up. But the case of Ones is not a good case. Why not? Because even though you made a neder al das rabim, when do we say echam rinan al das rabim ein lo hafara? That's only where you're doing the hafara for no particular tzarech mitzvah. That's the dvar harishus. Because how are you going to get a consensus I mean, we're talking about Jews. Remember, our president always asks, are we talking about Jews? Yeah, we're talking about Jews. If you're talking about Jews, you'll never get a consensus. So, Mamela, al das rabim, you can't have a hafara. Would you have made the netter if? Yes, no, maybe. Okay. But if we're talking about a mitzvah, all these Jews are going to be agreeing on. So for the tzarech of a mitzvah, you can actually go ahead and be matir and neder. No, uses the word hafara, which is usually what we use for a baal. Remember, we saw that we only are makbid on the exactitude of how we phrase that, where it's nogea, a difference. It means, obviously, the heter of a chokham. So in that case, everybody would agree, and therefore yesh lo hafara, like the famous case, ahu makri dardike davi pasha b'yanuka, there was this melame tinokot, and he used to, as some learn, that he actually killed some of his students, but you know, children are highly overrated. Anyways, a lot of discussion in the Rishonim about that. But Rashi understood, okay, pasha b'yanuka means he used to beat them up, and, you know, only sent them to the hospital. He didn't actually kill anybody. So anyway, so they fired him, and Rav Acha made him take a neder that he's going to asur the entire town on himself if he ever takes a job teaching kids again and so on. And Ravina was matir the neder. Why? Because the dayakavase, there's a lot of people you can hire to be school teachers, but they don't know how to pronounce things. Take a look at the kids today. They have no idea of how to pronounce anything. So you try to get them to lane. Good heavens. They never heard of half of the issues that they're supposed to. I mean, that's not a teacher. So since the only one that he could find that was properly medayik was this guy, okay, so at least we'll have most of the students graduating. The rest of them might be on crutches and so on. But as we say, children are highly overrated. Anyway, but you see from here one thing, that even though he was neder on the Das Rabim, he could still go ahead and be matir that neder. So now we know, what did Rabbi Yochanan's riddle actually mean? There's one other case. The other case was the case of Peah. But the case of the rapist, that's not a good case, because I could always figure out a way that he could marry her if he took a neder, and if he shoots her, then he's going to be Chayav Misa anyway, so that wouldn't be the case of getting Malkus. Okay, now, moving on. Gentlemen, this is a supreme case of perfection of the Daf Yomi with the Parshat HaShavua, and exactly where you're holding today if you do one aliyah a day for your preparation for the laning and the Shnayim Mikra Vechatargum. This is exactly the parsha you're doing today. What do you say about that? Could it be better placed? So open up your trusty Chumash right to where it was open to anyway. And let's get a good look at the various Isurim that the Torah brings for different species. And remember that the next piece in the Mishnah is about Ochel Nevelot, V'Trefot, Shkatzim, V'Rimasim, just what we're interested in here in Shmini. Now, there's one other place where the Torah does go through those same Isurim, and that is in Re'eh. So you might want to get your Dvarim out as well to compare the different cases. You see, Lama Nikra Shmam Sofrim, Shoyu Sofrim Kol Oysia Shabbatera. So then the Gemara brings a story where they were being chaylik about whether Darosh Darash is exactly half of the Torah, which is also, of course, what you just read. So the Darosh Darash, they immediately got up, took out the Sefer Torah, and started counting the Osiyos. If you'll notice, Alon got up the minute he heard that this is in Re'eh, jumped up to bring his Re'eh. How do you like that? This is indeed a group of real Sofrim. What can I tell you? Okay, so now let's take a look at the various types of things that are talking about. So first of all, if you take a look over here in Posik Mem Gimel, this is in the Goyish Perek Yud Aleph, split into numbered Psukim. This would be the Goyish Posik Mem Gimel. Anyway, so in that Posik, we find a general rule. Now, it's very important to note, it doesn't say don't eat. It says don't make yourselves disgusting, which we understand means don't eat. But remember, there's a very important difference between the lashon of achila or other ways of saying non-consumption. For instance, when it comes to Yom Kippurim, it doesn't say anywhere don't eat. Is there a shear of a kizayas on Yom Kippur? No, because the Torah didn't mention eating. And eating is the din of ein achila b'chot mikizayit. So over here, that would mean that al tishak tzu does not mean a kizayit. We're going to see later today that that has important implications. And furthermore, it continues on, velo titam'u bahem, and this titam'u means don't make yourself tameh by eating them. So these is a general. It doesn't say what they are. It just says b'chol asher tzashoret. That means we have two lavim that are focused as a general kalal on anything that is shoretz. Now, shoretz specifically means, as if you've already done your Rashi's on this for this week, so the shoretz, as Rashi explains, means something that is low along the ground, so that when you see it moving, it appears to be just wiggling along the ground. You don't see feet moving and so on. So it's a wiggler. That's a shoretz. So this is not referring to the large animals that the pasuk describes. It's talking about dafka, insects, worms, and things like that. Now, this is two lavim. Now, besides those two lavim, if you take a look in the pasuk before, what you find over there is, v'chol asher ein lo snapir v'kaskeset mikol sheretz hamayim mibesorim lo tochelo. Now, here it says that there's also a specific lav of eating a sheretz hamayim. And if you take a look in Re'e, there also we have, kol asher ein lo snapir v'kaskeset lo tochelo. So if it's a type of thing in the water that doesn't have fins and doesn't have scales, so you are also in eating it. And since these insects don't have fins and scales, and it's in the mayim, it says by mayim, by yamim, and so on, that would mean we, besides the two general rules, if the type of thing that you were eating was something that assures in the mayim, there would be an additional two lav. Now, let's move on to talk about things that are sheretz al oretz. So, is that, was that English? Yeah, it's like something that's slithering. It looks like it's slithering. Fine. Now, moving on to the pasuk, two pasukim before, that talk about things that are not in the water, but they're specifically the sheretz al ha'oretz. So kol sheretz ha'sheretz al ha'oretz, sheketsu, ooh, lo ye achel, aha. So now we've got an iser achila also on the sheretz ha'sheretz al ha'oretz that gives us two different types of iser achila. Two iserim of iser achila on something in the water, lo tochelu, one in Re'e and one in our Parsha of Shmini. And now we've got three different lavim, two of which are lavim about eating, and that's here in Shmini, two psukim before. V'chol asheretz asheretz al ha'oretz, sheketzu lo ye'achel. Then, kol holech al galchon, everything that is creeping along on its belly. V'chol holech al arba, at kol mar beraglayim, or it's walking on these four legs, but it shoreits. Or it's got a lot of legs, like a centipede, as Rashi actually brings the word centipede in French. Lo tochlum. Okay, that is lav number two for land shrotzim. Lav number three for land shrotzim is the pasuk after the pasuk we had before. Lo tit velo titamu et nafshotechem bechol hasheretz haromeis al haaretz. Here it doesn't say don't eat it, but it says lo titamu et nafshotechem. So we've got two special isurim for water shratzim, three special isurim for land shratzim, and one special isur which appears in Re'eh about achila of flying shratzim. So the flying sheretz obviously is not a sheretz while it's in the air. It's called a sheretz because when it lands, it creeps along the ground. So you would also be chayiv the isurim of the sheretz ha'aretz, but in addition to the sheretz ha'aretz, if it's also sheretz ha'of, this is not a reference to birds. This is a reference to a sheretz ha'of. A real bird is not a sheretz ha'of. So v'chol sheretz ha'of, tamehu lachem, so these are flying insects, lo ye'achelo, and they're not to be eaten specifically. That's in Re'eh. Now the import of all of this, says Rav Yehuda, I'll give you some examples, and you'll see the differences. So let's say somebody eats a benita, and it's the type of benita that grows in Bekarba. So a benita is a worm, and a karba is a cabbage. So this is a worm that grows inside of a cabbage. Now, the question is growing inside of a cabbage considered to be al ha'aretz, or it's not covered by al ha'aretz? Well, interestingly enough, it depends. If the cabbage is growing at the time that this worm is growing up in the cabbage, then if it's attached to the ground, it's considered to be sheretz al ha'aretz, despite the fact that it's in the cabbage. But if it grows in a cabbage that has already been harvested, and now it starts growing in that cabbage while the cabbage is not on the growing on the ground, if you eat the cabbage with the worm, you would not be chayev on the worm. It's only if the worm comes out of the cabbage, at that point, it's considered to now be sheretz al ha'aretz. But while it's in the cabbage, it wouldn't be awesome. So therefore comes Rav Yehuda to say that there's a chiddush over here. And that is, if you eat the worm in the cabbage and it was still attached, then malkina le mishub sheretz ha'shoretz al ha'aretz, we will give him all of those isurim, including the ones that were specific for sheretz ha'shoretz al ha'aretz, and you will be chayev on them as well, because it's considered to be a sheretz ha'shoretz al ha'aretz. So that means besides the special isurim, which we had three separate isurim for sheretz al ha'aretz, we have to add the general isurim, which cover all of the shratzim. That's what we opened with. Al tashaktsu et nafshotechem b'chol ha'sheretz ha'shoretz and lo tetamu behem. So then that would mean that even though it's in the cabbage, it would be a chiyuv of sheretz ha'shoretz al ha'aretz, along with the overall chiyuv. Hu de'ochel binita de'vekarva, and indeed, there was a person who had eaten that while it was in the cabbage, and Nagde reviewed it. So the chiddush over here, according to the Rishonim, is that you might have thought that that was a chumra derabbanan, because until it actually crawls on the ground, you're not really chayav. And the chumra of Shmuel, that when something is in the cabbage, while the cabbage is still growing, is considered to be al ha'aretz, maybe that's a gzeira derabbanan. Kamash Balan Rav Yehuda gave him malkus d'oraisa. Omer Abaye, how about if you ate a putita? Now a putita is some type of small water bug, and there you would be chayav of four separate isurim. So we have the two isurim that are the klal of kol ha'sheretz, and that's b'chol eilel, al tetamu b'chol eilel. Plus, as we saw, we have two special isurim that were for eating a sheretz hamayim, and these are sheretz hamayims. If you ate an ant, so then you would be chayav five separate isurim. First, you would be chayav from the overall sheretz ha'shoretz al ha'aretz, and we found three separate chiyuvim, and you'd be chayav for the general iser of B'chol HaSheretz, which are two Isurim, the first two that we said. So that gives you a total of five. How about if you eat a Tzira'ah, you eat a hornet? So then, since a hornet is also a flying, so it's a Sheretz Ha'of, and it also lands and crawls around, you would be chayav six separate Isurim, because you have to add the Isur of Sheretz Ha'of that we spoke about in the Parsha of Re'eh. So that gives us an overview of the way that these different Isurim come out. Now, once we bring an Isur of Teshaketsu, the concept of Teshaketsu is a broad concept, and it also includes being disgusting. So, because it doesn't say specifically not to eat. So let's say somebody holds back from urinating or holds back from defecating. He's disgusting. Over mishum lo teshaketsu. He would also be over from the general pasuk of lo teshaketsu. Now, that is actually lo teshaketsu is not the pasuk that we were talking about before, because the pasuk we were talking about before was the pasuk of al teshaketsu. That had to do with eating, but the idea of a lo teshaketsu is actually a completely different pasuk, and that's a iser lo teshaketsu et nafshotechem ba'beima uba'of. There it's referring to large animals. It's not what we were talking about before. And there's a question of which pasuk we actually mean over here. And, of course, the pashtus is that we're not talking about actually giving him malchus. It's basically an esmachta, is the way it appears lahalacha. Fine. Omer of Bivi Barabaye, Haiman deshati bekarne deumna. You want to talk about acting disgusting? So you take a throwaway lab tube that had been used for a blood test, and you drink some water out of that. I mean, come on, man. So Haiman deshati bekarna deumana. He's doing something that's disgusting. Anyway. Huh? Oh, yes, the barber. Very good. Very good. Very good. From now on, you have to add a pirish for me because I'm just too slow. Omar Rava Baravuna. Now, note that there were two separate isurim. There was the isur of achila. And achila, what's the shear of the isur of achila when it comes to a birya? Well, when it comes to a birya, that's whatever size the birya is. So if the Torah says don't eat an ant, it's not a shear of a kezayit, it's whatever an ant is, even if it's an isur achila. So that we had before. Yes, of course. That's shehi kibriyato. So let's imagine a case where somebody mushes up a bunch of ants. So now he's got nearly a kezayis of crushed ants. He wants to be mashlim the kezayis, and he's mashlim the kezayis by bringing one live, Rashi learns live, literal, Tosfos says means one whole ant, and that one whole ant is mashlim a kezayit to the whole thing. Now, this is fascinating, because we've got two separate issues over here, you see. The five isurim that have to do with eating an ant are only chal if it has a shame ant. Mashed ant is not an ant, because the isur of an ant is indeed an ant. It's very important to distinguish here between ants and aunts, and this is why Americans have a great problem with this Gemara, and it apparently has ended up with the destruction of many aunties. We're talking about ants here, not ants and not aunts. So, suppose you're going to be mashlim. If you smush all of those ants together, what do you get? You get essentially a nevela of a sheretz. And indeed, the Torah includes Shratzim in the Isser Nevela. So you've got an Isser of Achila of Nevela. What's the shear of the Isser Achila Nevela? A Kizayit. But you don't have a Kizayit here of Nevela because you added one whole ant to this. So can you add the entire ant to be mashlim, the shear of the Nevela of the ant? After all, when you eat this ant, as Rashi points out, it is dead by eating. So therefore, if you were mevi achat chai, and now you've got a full kezayin, you would actually be loka six. Why? Because five you get for eating the one complete ant, as we saw before. And now that you've got a kezayin, you would also be able to be mashlim that shear for a kezayit nevela. Now, as Tosis points out, there is big chiddush over here, and that explains the strange gemaras coming up. And that is, if we were to smash up this extra ant, it wouldn't necessarily be enough to go ahead and be mashlim the kezayit, because it takes up much less volume. And remember, a kezayit is a volume shear. And if I would smash up that live ant, you wouldn't have a kezayit. So now you're trying to utilize a kezayit because it's not matched up and it's all much bigger than it would be if it were. Nonetheless, we could still add that ant because in its current state, it's included in that same Isra of Achila. So because of that, Rav Amar Rabbi Yochanan says, look, even if you've got two ants, not a lot of ants. So I feel shnai. So if you've got only two ants, you probably need the entire size of this third ant. And that's what he's clarifying according to Tosfos. You need the entire size of this additional ant to get a kezayis. Now, this would not be a chazonish shear of a kezayis, but if we're machmer, like Reb Chaim Noah in this case, so then you wouldn't be yotze your isser of eating ants, according to Chazon Ish, but in this case, if you've got two big ants, that would also be able to be machmer with the one. Rabbi Yosef says, well, if that's the case, I mean, even if it's really precisely the correct size with the full extra ant, even if it was one ant that had been smashed, plus this one, if that would equal kezayis, would be enough. Now, obviously, we're not disagreeing. If one says two and one says one, that's not the point. I mean, we're just talking about the size of the ants that they're used to talking about. I mean, it's the biggest ant imaginable that you could get a kezayis of it with two ants. But yeah, it's still a nimala. Obviously, it could include beetles and things like that. So there's some quite large ones. Now, the Mishnah also said that if you were ochal tevel, umaisa rishon, omar rav, if you ate tevel, when it says eating tevel, that tevel could be, you took off truma, you took off meiser, and the only thing you didn't take off was meiser ani. Now meiser ani has no kedusha. Meiser ani is purely a monetary din. It's like a tzedakah. There's something that has no kedusha. Does that leave the peros in a state of tevel, or is that just like a monetary chiyuv? It says, Rav, it is tevel, and you'd get malchus, even though there's no kedusha, so to speak, left in the peros that are left behind. And who's he going like? The following brayta. The Tanya Omar Rabbi Yossi. You might have thought that tevel is only called tevel if lo hurah mimenu kol ikar. So lo yochel lo yechayev ala tevel shel hurah mimenu kol ikar. You didn't take off anything, not truma, some maiseres. How about if you took off truma gedola, but you didn't take off maiserisha? And how about if you even took off maiserisha, but you didn't take off maiser sheni? Or how about if you took off maiserisha, but all that was left was maiser ani, minayim, that it's still tevel? Talmud lomar, lo tuchal le'chol b'sharecha ba'asar de'gantcha tiroshcha v'yitzarecha. And, b'nogea ma'aser ani, what's the lashon? Give it to the aniyim v'achlu b'sharecha. Oh my gosh. Same language. Lo tuchal le'chol b'sharecha, the very thing you were meant to be giving b'sharecha, which is the ma'aser ani. So just like b'sha'arecha, in the achlu b'sha'arecha v'saveo is ma'aser ani, so too when the Torah says you cannot eat before taking off ma'asar d'gantchat tiroshchav yitzarecha, it's a reference to ma'aser ani, and it says lo tuchal, which is an iser lav. Okay, Rabosai, we've kept you long enough. So, again, today we completed the fascinating question of the relationship between kimu velo kimu, bitlo velo bitlo, and the possibilities of the cases of the lava nitik la'ase, where both of those possibilities would be true. Rabbi Yochanan claims there's only two cases in Kol HaTorah Kula that you could actually say the case of lava nitik la'ase pottering you in a way that would be consistent with the shita of bitlo velo bitlo. We talked about a lav she'en bo ma'aseh and a lav she'yesh bo ma'aseh, and we talked about more of the hatra'at safek, and we introduced the strange in-between case of an interrelated lav with an aseh, which looks on the surface like a classic lav anitik la'aseh, I'm referring to Shiluach HaKein, but which, according to Rabbi Yehuda, is actually not meant as a normal lav anitik la'aseh, and it's an alternative aseh to the lav. All very beautiful, but remember, very abstracted analyses of the overall concept, which Azharas is the Torah giving us Malkus for, and so on. And so a lot of general klolim in the Torah have been defined so far in our very exciting perek, to be Bezrat Hashem continued. Sorry? Yeah, as ancillary to the sugyas, we've had some fascinating discussions, including Neder Barabim and analysis of puns. So we'll see you all, Bezrat Hashem. We'll see you all tomorrow. Take care. Besurot Tovot.